Chair Hill and committee members, before you today, you'll have the Department of Corrections. We'll be here to go over your IT questions as well as discuss a policy package that is not included in the governor's original printed budget. I've handed out to you a sheet that just outlines a couple of the key reductions in the information technology area that are made in the governor's recommended budget, as well as the two additions, and copies of budget notes that were information technology related that were adopted by the subcommittee in Ways and Means 2 years ago, one relating to allocation of resources, the other one relating to working cooperatively with the state police on the development of a public safety data warehouse project. The information services budget is approximately a $25 million budget for the Department of Corrections, involving approximately 145 FTE. That budget also includes about $8 million of those expenditures are for the offender information sentence computation unit, and approximately $800,000 of those are for research. For information services specifically, of that $25 million, it's approximately $15 million budget. The particular interest to the Public Safety Subcommittee that will be at, hearing this budget starting in approximately a week and a half is a portion of their request that relates to a $724,000 general fund request that's not in the governor's recommended budget that relates to a project that will require the department to purchase an AS400 computer. Particularly, the committee will need to know what kind of priority to give this and whether or not the cost estimate is appropriate, because it's something the co-chairs will have to decide whether or not they can allocate additional funds for that or need to find funding within the department's budget to take care of that. With that, you'll have Glenn Riley here today from the Department of Corrections, as well as Pete Liddell from the DAS IRMD to walk you through their handout.
Okay. Welcome.
Good afternoon, Mr. Chair, members of the committee. For the record, my name is Glenn Riley. I'm Chief Information Officer and Assistant Director of the Oregon Department of Corrections. You have in front of you a small handout today. I followed somewhat the sense of what I've observed other departments' presentations, for better or worse, starting off with a front section that provides a little background on the size, character, and scope of the services and systems that the Information Systems and Services Division support. If you'll notice the first page of content, page 3, at the top, the brief summary that gives some sense of the size, 30 Enterprise NT servers, 3 mini computers, those are AS400s, one that presently supports the fiscal system used at the Department of Corrections, called a FAMUS, and if before I get too far into any acronyms, I'd point out to the very last page that you might want to pull off this has all of the acronyms spelled out, and in fact, we've tried in the content of the report to make sure that we spelled that out wherever there was a reference in the text. AFAMUS is our financial system. It's the Automated Financial Accounting and Manufacturing Inventory System. The Department of Corrections is somewhat unique from other departments in that the character of the services that we provide require us to manage large inventories of materials, of consumables for inmates, food, clothing, you name it, we have to inventory and manage that. That's one of the core features of that particular system that distinguishes it from, for example, SFMS, the State Financial Management System, with which this interfaces, by the way. The other AS400 supports the Corrections Information System, which is a large integrated system for the management of inmates. It manages scheduling. It manages relationship information in the corrections setting. We have inmates who are, as you can imagine, incompatible amongst one another, enemies lists, things like that, that we have to keep track of. Members of what on the street would be called gangs inside the institutions, we have a fancier name for it. We manage the work-related programs, all the scheduling related to Measure 17 activities, and on and on. And a little farther into the presentation, we'll show you a list of all of those. Well, in fact, the list is below, but there's a little graphic that shows on page 5, I believe, that shows the character of the system and the comprehensiveness of that system.
Are these all in the setting? I mean, on the responders?
Yes. And then the
third PCPIP network?
Yes, sir. The third AS400 is a small development machine so that we can do all of our programs on the AS400 are written in COBOL. We have a small machine that we do the testing and so on before we put systems into production. And as you can see, it's a fairly good size for what it is. 3,000 separate computer modules, 11 million plus lines of code, 40 apps that are shown on that chart on page 5, multiple databases, 300,000 records, of which the population currently is slightly over 10,000 active inmates in the custody of the department and inside our facilities. Presently, we have an information systems staff of 67 folks. About 28 of those people are technical support staff who are stationed throughout the state to support various institutions, to support the Salem area, the administrative offices, and so on. The remainder are more or less evenly split between operations staff supporting the computer center, the network, and development staff doing new development and maintaining the present software base. We have approximately 4,000, a little less than 4,000 staff in the department presently, and about 2,400 community corrections staff that we support in the 36 counties. By statute, the community corrections function continues to use the corrections information system maintained by the department to support their core functions.
So, describe to me in terms of what that means. Are you providing access to the data, and you're providing the workstations, or they're using their own workstations and accessing your network?
Mr. Chair, they would be using their own workstations. We provide a connection into our network, allowing them access into the system, and the information and modules that they use for their core work. So it's
okay.
We support presently with the construction of Coffee Creek Correctional Facility, which is the women's prison and combined intake center in Wilsonville, 14 institutions. Our operation is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. And as you can see by the transaction information, fairly substantial number of transactions per day. The modules of the system, I don't think I need to go through all of these, but as you can see, it's assessment information about the character of inmates when they come into the system, population management modules to manage the offenders inside the institutions, maintenance services, and so on. With the AFAMUS, or Automated Financial Accounting Manufacturing System, as I said, it handles all of the core financials as well as inventory.
How do you roll up to the SFMS?
I'm not quite sure in the sense that we have an interface into SFMS that provides the information to that system. I'm not an expert on how that particular module works. Other systems we have that are not on the 400 are the inmate trust accounting and canteen systems. The easiest way to think about trust accounting is that it's analogous to a bank account. Inmates do not have access to money, but their families may provide money to them. They earn credits through the Measure 17 work program, and that money is, small amounts available for them to use in the canteen. Other monies may be going to, victim assistance or other court-ordered kinds of, payments. And so we're able to, manage that for them. Institution staff deployment system is, a system that's used to manage, the corrections officers', skills and availability to, the scheduling requirements of the institution to make sure that we have folks in the posts, that are manned, are the appropriate folks, appropriate training. It tracks, things like schedules for, vacations and that kind of thing. Parole board management information system. At the database level, the Department of Corrections and the Parole Board are fully integrated. The department, wrote the application for the Parole Board information system, which was brought online in September of 1997. It works, it's a thin client, not, excuse me, not a thin client, it's a basically a VB4. App running on their workstations, accesses our, information through an Oracle database that interfaces with the 400. Document imaging, is developed for the, offender information and sentence calculation, unit, and then Outlook email and calendar system, that's provided to the department and some of the counties as well. The network, if we move to page 6, at the top of page 6, starting at line 5, it's, basically internet, TCP IP, primarily T1 lines. I believe it's 46 T1 lines and 15 56 KB lines. Historically, it was primarily token ring, but we're moving to Ethernet because it's simply cheaper.
Why are you still managing this network?
I beg your pardon?
Why are you still managing this network?
Mr. Chair, we've managed the network since the beginning. We have received no direction otherwise from Department of Administrative Services or elsewhere. However, we are participating in the development of the State of Oregon Enterprise Networking Project, and WNDAS, has brought that capability online. We'll be rolling our network into that one.
So what is the, how many devices are you, you got 4,000 devices on this network?
Mr. Chair, it's probably closer to 5,000 or 6,000 if you include the community. We have a very few, terminals, green screen terminals, and they're at the Oregon State Penitentiary. They're used to, for data entry for some very limited applications associated with work programs and so on. The rest of the network are essentially PC-based connections.
Yes.
TCP IP exclusively.
Let me just be clear. So no one for the Department of Administrative Services has ever discussed with the Department of Corrections about taking over management of these lines?
Mr. Chair, for the record, my name is Pete LaBelle. I'm with Strategic Planning Review of Department of Administrative Services. There have been discussions between the Department of Administrative Services and the Department of Corrections. And historically, the Department of Administrative Services has operated in an open network. The Department of Corrections has rather stringent security requirements, and it wasn't until the discussions about the State of Oregon Enterprise Network took place that the Department of Administrative Services was working to address those specific security issues.
What security issues do you have that are so stringent?
Well, Mr. Chair, members of the committee, as you can imagine, offenders might have an interest of getting into the offender information or sentence calculation portion of the system and could do a fair amount of harm to the system were they able to access that. That's our core function at the department, is to hold offenders for the appropriate amount of time, and we take it seriously that we want to protect that information from any access other than the staff in the vendor information and sentence calculation unit.
And that has nothing to do with managing the network in terms of this requirement. So I don't buy that as a excuse in terms of why management hasn't gone over to DAS on the line. In terms of the legislature passed in 1995 a law that said Department of Administrative Services would be managing all of these.
Mr. Chair?
Yes, in terms of why Department of Corrections is still maintaining their own network.
Mr. Chair, it may be somewhat of a semantic difference. We take very seriously the charge of the Department of Administrative Services. They are the owner of the network, and we very clearly work with those folks and coordinate everything we do and essentially work as behave as their proxy in managing these resources.
How many people do you have assigned, how many FTE are assigned to manage the network?
Excuse me. Mr. Chair, one. I might move on, Mr. Chair, to the bottom of page 6, the staff functions in operations. Staff are providing administration for the servers that support email, file servers, variety of print servers, and so on. Unix administration for those applications that I spoke of earlier that do not reside on the 400.
Do we have a book?
400 administration. Network management and so on. The availability of the system is 24 hours a day, 7 days a week. We do not keep staff at the operations center those hours. We do have a help desk that operates and is staffed from 6 in the morning to 6 in the evening, and we use a service to screen and route calls after hours to folks who are on call and carry pagers rotating. Kind of fashion to provide that staff coverage in off hours. Our development function on the next page, page 7, is pretty much like any development shop. We have folks in there primarily maintaining the large body of code and making small changes to it as required and developing new modules as the business case presents itself. Technical support, as I mentioned, we have 14 institutions. We provide technical support throughout the state, some support to the community corrections folks related to specifically the functionality that we deliver at their desk.
As you move through the broad categories, development, technical support, help desk, can you provide the number of FTE that are available for each of those functions? Or is that in another document?
I'm not sure, excuse me, Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, I'm not sure that I have it in here. I do know I have a small org chart here that I'd be happy to share that breaks those numbers out.
Great.
In some detail. Now all I have to do is find them. Well, perhaps I don't have them in front of me.
Any gentleman behind you can help you since you have the answer on networks.
12 each in development operations.
You have 24 in development?
No, 12, excuse me, Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, 12 in development and 12 in operations.
Operations is defined as technical support or help desk?
No, sir, Mr. Chair. Technical support would be the help desk and the user support technicians placed around the state. Operations would be the computer center network.
Ms. Etheridge?
Did you pre-calculate any of your staffing ratios either by users or by nodes or anything?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, for the last several biennia, the technical support staff have been allocated based on a ratio of 1 to 85 positions in new prison construction. We have then, as a result of a budget note in the current biennium's budget, we were instructed to take a look at the disparity of allocation that resulted from sort of a richer staffing in new institutions versus historically what had taken place in the department. And we have rebalanced those. We're attempting to get to a ratio of about, we'd like to get to a 1 to 100, but we feel we're probably now, I believe it's 1 to 140 on the technical support staff. For all staff, it's approximately 1 to 50 employees in the department.
Can you give me the number of users on your network? And can you also give me the number of network nodes, and can you bifurcate those by either actual machine, like desktop or green screen machines versus printers?
Mr. Chair,
other devices on
Patridge, we have approximately 5,000 concurrent users at any given time. Approximately 4,000 of those users would be Department of Corrections. There are another 2,400 users in community, but concurrently 5,000. So in terms of devices attached to the network,
so you have
somewhere in the neighborhood of 6,000.
The DOC has 4,000.
Approximately, yes, sir.
And then your other user communities, 2,400?
Yes, sir.
And then, okay. And do you charge any of those people, any of those other users, for any technical support?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, no.
They have the ability to use your technical support staff?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, to a limited extent, we provide technical support around the applications, that is CIS access. We try to limit it to that. Admittedly, if a user support technician walks into an office and runs into something that they know something about that they can help on, they're the kind of folks that will try to help. But typically, we try to focus on the core service that we're providing to the community corrections office.
Okay. Representative Patridge?
How many FTE in the department?
Farther, Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, farther back in the presentation on page 13.
Not within your department. You say 145. I'm talking on hold.
Yes, sir. The middle graph on page 13 for the current biennium, 1999-2001, FTE is shown as 3,575.1. And below that, you'll note that the IS staff is 67.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. So you have, I guess I'm trying to sort out how you have 3,575 staff members and you have 4,000 users within the department. I'm trying to sort that out, and obviously not all of those people are going to have beyond the computer systems. I wouldn't think.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, that's certainly true. If I might consult, I can probably get a better figure on terms of the number of desktops.
Okay.
Actually, I think it's in here somewhere, but I don't recall exactly. We may have covered it in the first piece.
Can I ask a question?
Representative Lowe.
Might be helpful. I don't know. Don't a large percentage of the women who are incarcerated at women's center here in Salem have desktops? that they use for
ODOT.
ODOT.
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, the department...
Is that included in these numbers?
The department provides call center services for a variety of state offices, Secretary of State, Department of Transportation, and so on, as well as providing that service commercially, developing call centers, Snake River, and the local support, for example, for the Secretary of State's office is at OSCI, the Oregon State Correctional Institution.
So the question is, whose budget are those computers counted?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, those would come out of the Oregon Corrections Enterprise budget, which is treated for this purpose separately from the Department of Corrections budget.
Thank you.
Mr. Chairman.
Sorry.
I want to know if it's possible to have an organization chart of your FTE for Corrections Department, and you can identify for us where is the unit for technical support. This way we can see under what management, under which management is your technical support.
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I apologize. I thought I had that chart with me. I can't put my fingers on it right at this moment. I made an effort to have so much backup information, I can't find that chart in there. But I'm certainly happy to provide it to the committee as soon as we possibly can.
Representative Patrick.
Mr. Chair, staffing is obviously what is one of the things that drives costs. And I'm just concerned because I look back at your network piece. It says 5,500 users, 2,000 concurrent users. And the number you gave me was approximately 5,000 concurrent users. Then I'm just trying to get my arms around who these people, who your 145, I guess, is what it says in here, who your 145 people are actually serving.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the division, the Information Systems and Services Division, has 145 positions in it. Of the 145, 67 support information services. The other positions are in two other units. One is offender information and sentence calculation, and one is a small five-person research and evaluations unit, statistician.
But they're all the IT department.
They all report to the Information Systems and Services Division. They do not, those two units do no IT work in the sense of they are not operations people, they're not technical support people, they don't write programs.
So I'll follow up then, Mr. Chair. So can you give me, so you can't give me today, but I need to know how many users you have that are DOC employees.
Mr. Chair,
how many?
Patrick will nail that down.
Well, I need to know how many users you have who are DOC employees. I need to know how many network nodes you have. So I can, we're trying to look at staffing ratios and other things. And I need to understand the difference, and maybe you can point that out, or maybe I missed that at the beginning. If you have 145, maybe the org chart Senator Yee asked for will provide that particular support.
Do you have in your budget, you have 67 positions, people. How many FTE do you have assigned to you?
Mr. Chair, it's very close to a one-to-one relationship. I don't, that I'm afraid was documented on the org chart, and I don't have that in front of me to tell you exactly the differences.
Do you have no open positions?
Mr. Chair, three positions that are vacant at the moment that we're recruiting for. Somewhere in the range of 3 to 8 months.
Okay.
Mr. Chair, if we could move to page 11. This is where we begin to address the series of questions, the 14 issues that were of interest to the committee. We show a number of graphs here to show how the IS expenditures, and in this case I refer to the IS unit, that is the group of people who do the technical support, the computer center, the programmers, the developers, as opposed to the division.
What's in the division?
The offender information sentence calculation unit is about half of the division. These are the folks who manage the offender paperwork, who pull the information from the paperwork and determine the correct release date for inmates, manage those records, input the information into the system, calculate the sentence, monitor, audit those records on a daily basis, provide public information services, and so on.
Is it a data entry unit?
Mr. Chair, not really. They do a very small amount of entry into the sentence calculator in terms of entering a small number of pieces of information that are critical to make the calculation of the appropriate release date. Other than that, their data entry would not be an appropriate way to describe those folks.
I'm just trying to understand. It's like 300 and some odd. And 70 FTE in that group.
Mr. Chair, FTE, I believe, is 50 in the offender information sentence calculation.
What's the one category that we're looking to? 370?
Total FTE in the, division?
Yeah.
I think in my overview sheets, I gave you sort of a breakdown. There's 339 FTE in the total central support area, of which 145 are in information systems. But keep in mind, information systems also includes the sentence calculation unit. You know approximate FTE in sentence calculation unit?
It's approximately 50.
Yeah.
I believe it goes to 52
there's a large,
in the new budget.
Large piece of that is in sentence calculation unit.
How many of those are unfilled? What's your vacancy factor?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, in the offender information sentence calculation unit, I believe we have two or three vacancies presently. They try to stay pretty much on top of it. We're in the midst of a migration, move records from institution-based records office to the central records office. And it's very important to keep those positions filled so that we're staffed adequately to support that workload. So,
are those being converted from electronic to electronic or paper to electronic? I'm trying to understand the scope of what.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, currently the records are essentially paper records. We get the various orders and so on from the court, detainers, warrants, sentencing orders, that kind of thing, are kept in there. Anything relating to that would have a material effect on the period of time that an inmate was in our custody.
Why don't you capture any of that information off the court system?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, we are working currently with the Judicial Department. They are converting or essentially bringing up to speed their uniform sentencing order, which is, as presently conceived, will be an XML electronic document that will be available to the Department of Corrections, and we're prepared to begin accepting those documents when they're prepared to begin sending them to us.
Okay.
So it's paper today, and you're entering into a computer system?
Mr. Chair, Representative Hill, the information is largely paper-driven.
So but you're entering into a computer system?
Mr. Chair, yes.
Okay. So just trying to so I don't want to offend anyone. So it is data entry.
Mr. Chair, yes. There's a small amount of data entry, but again, it's related to the process of entering pieces of information specifically relating to a sentence so that the correct sentence date can be calculated. So it has to do with the sentence that is sent to us from the court as opposed to other information that the court may have that is not material to the sentence.
So if it says 85 months and they were sentenced on the 5th, anyone with a calendar could figure that out.
Mr. Chair, that's certainly true, and we would wish that all of the offenders sent to us had one offense and one simple calculation. But under multiple sentencing guidelines, with inmates leaving the institution, perhaps reoffending in some cases, being resentenced, failure to meet their parole obligations, revocations, and so on, it's not quite that simple in most cases.
Representative Patridge.
But it's all automated.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the piece that does the calculation, yes. Yes, sir.
But all you're doing is taking data off a page when the probation officer says, or the parole officer in your case says, X, Y, and Z didn't occur. They go in front of the judge sentences them, remands them back to your custody. It's all automated, correct? You're just hand calculating, you're just hand inputting the data?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, the information comes to us on a piece of paper typically, and we review it, determine what the appropriate information is, and enter it into the calculator, yes, sir. And it tells us the date.
Maybe let's back into this the other way then. So how many FTE are being used to do data entry versus how many FTE are doing something more substantive than taking the paper stuff and re-inputting it? That's what I'm trying to get to. I know you have various programs and incentive things, and I know some of the data entry is going to have to occur there, but, I mean, if they were able to pull the information from the court's systems, I'm trying to figure out how much data entry we could save.
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, actually, I think the opportunity there, could we fully automate, would be quite considerable. Although it isn't so much, in my belief, a savings in the data entry as it is in the quality control of the document itself. When working with paper documents from 36 courts, some of which are handwritten, come in at various times, are not complete, these folks have to do quite a lot of work just to make sure they have all of the documents to calculate the sentence properly and that they're working with all of the appropriate jurisdictions to be sure that they are up to date on detainers and out-of-state detainers, all manner of other documents that might affect the status of the inmate. The data entry part is relatively small. However, if we could receive the documents electronically, the quality control issues, the considerable amount of work in pouring through a piece of paper and trying to extract the appropriate information from it would go away. I believe that it has a large potential of reducing the number of staff, ultimately, if we can get to that point.
Representative Patridge.
So of the, what did we decide you had, 50?
Mr. Chairman, Representative Patridge, it's approximately 50.
So of the 50, if you had to allocate FTE for data entry, how much FTE would you allocate? Just in terms of stuff back from
Chair, Representative Patridge, if I had to make an educated guess about the amount of time as a fraction of 50 FTE, 25% perhaps.
I don't want to know.
What is the remainder of the FTE? You got 67 plus 50. Where's the other 130?
Mr. Chair, the total FTE and the remaining FTE are research and evaluation unit. There are five folks in there. So five plus the 50 in OOISC and the 130 approximately, 67 in information systems, and that's how we account for the total.
67.
67 information systems, 50 in OISC, and 5.
That's 122. How many FTE?
Approximately 145.
So where are the other...
The 145, Mr. Chair, the 145 FTE refer to the 01-03 budget. There is a growth of 9 positions in information systems in 01-03 associated with the startup of Coffee Creek Correction Facility in Wilsonville.
Okay. So we're still missing 58.
Mr. Chair, there are 2 positions we'll be coming into OISC as in the 0103 budget as well.
Okay.
And the total FTE for IS staff will be 75. There will be 52 FTE in OISC and 5 in research and evaluation.
Okay. That's 134. So you're still missing 10.
Yeah, I believe he said, testified that there would be 9 at Coffee Creek and 2 additional at the offender sentence calculation unit to a total of 11.
So what's the growth from 67 to 75?
You're right.
That's from 67 to 75 includes the 9.
Pardon me, Mr. Chair. Obviously, that would be 8 and not 9.
Okay. So does that include the Coffee Creek?
Yes. Yes, sir.
Okay. So you're still missing 11.
Somewhere along the line, somebody's numbers don't add up because, quite frankly, we have, I believe, it's should be 136 now, and 145 are the numbers I recall, and then some odd fraction. But these are numbers that I've gleaned from our official sources. I can't account for the difference in how they don't add up, quite frankly.
I think that's 10%. Representative Francis?
You were adding 2 to the sentencing unit?
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, yes.
As a result of Coffee Creek?
I would have to dig into the detail of that to determine. I didn't really come here today well briefed on offender information and sentence calculation. I came here briefed to speak about information systems unit.
Okay. I just have it. If I assume you're coming back tomorrow at this point in time, so my question for you is going to be, I'm interested to know if you're adding 2 more people to the sentence calculation unit. One, I'm interested in the current prison forecast with your 50 people. And then I want to know how many additional beds Coffee Creek is going to bring online and why bringing that online justifies 2 new FTE in your sentence calculation unit.
Do you participate in the CGIS group?
Mr. Chair, yes, I sit on the committee for CGIS.
Continue.
Could we ask the information that you received from through being a participant in the CGIS is of the sufficient nature and kind, if it were received in the proper fashion, that it would help you do those calculations as the sentence length and so on a little more automatedly?
Mr. Chair, Representative Lowe, the automation of the information from the court system would help us immeasurably. in terms of getting from a paper-driven system and what I believe are the obvious, human error factors that are inherently involved in handling a high volume of paper, to a system where the data would move to us electronically, essentially from the desktop of the judge to the offender information and sentence calculation unit, where it could be taken in automated form. Our role would then be more in that model, I believe, an auditing role, just to assure that we in fact had the information properly and that we were doing the quality assurance oversight of the system to sample and test and make sure that the calculations were indeed correct. But it would get us out of the paper handling business, largely.
How do you audit this group?
Mr. Chair.
Metrics that you measure them by?
I would be happy to bring information on that. I don't have that with me today, but yes, there are a great many metrics. The unit is broken up into separate parts, one of which is an audit function, and the audits occur periodically, and beginning with the third month, I believe, from release, goes into a very high cycle of audit review to assure that there are no outstanding documents, warrants, detainers, and so on. Mr. Chair, if I could point you to page 14, it's a quick breakdown of comparing the Department of Corrections Information Systems staff to like functions, state provincial functions. This is based on a Gartner Group survey conducted in the year 2000, comparing the 9901 Department of Corrections staff and budget in the 2001-2003 biennial budget to the 9901 state and provincial. And as you can see, IS is a percentage of our budget, the average state and provincial 5%, Department of Corrections 1.9 and 1.8%, IS budget per employee over $18,000, state and provincial approximately $2,000, Department of Corrections, number of users to IT workforce, the ratio is one IT staff to about 16 employees in other states and then the provinces of Canada, and 53 and 51 respectively at the Department of Corrections.
What is the definition of using the Gartner Group report for an IS?
Not absolutely certain of that, Mr. Chair, but I can get that for you. I have the report in my packet. I can certainly pull that information out.
Thank you.
Moving on, question number three, federal funds. We have no federal funds whatsoever in information systems. Project breakdowns for 0103. Basically, we have a very small number of projects. Our primary goals for the coming biennium are maintenance of the system. The major project for which there's a policy option package and an adjustment in the governor's adjusted was financial upgrade to the financial system and upgrade to the AS400 to an iServer device.
The financial package, in terms of are you going to go and develop it yourself?
Mr. Chair, no. The department uses the J.D. Edwards ERP package, and it's that package is no longer supported in its current technology at the end of this calendar year. The 400 is it's a Model 530 no longer produced by IBM. The software upgrade to AFAMOUS requires an upgrade to the 400 in order to run the software and support.
So AFAMOUS is J.D. Edwards?
Mr. Chair, AFAMOUS is the title of the package that we use. The actual name of it they changed to
One World?
One World is what they call it now.
Is it a customized package or is it an off-the-shelf package?
Mr. Chair, essentially it's an off-the-shelf package, but there we do have to make sure we develop the interface between that package and AFAMOUS and ensure continuity of the flow of information there.
So AFAMOUS is not the J.D. Edwards module. It is a application which you're using the J.D. Edwards background. Why do you have to...
Mr. Chair, the entire software base is J.D. Edwards. It's a relatively customizable environment in which you can essentially there's a database in the background and how you choose to format the financials and how you would implement a particular financial management structure. If I could compare it, it's a little bit like talking about a spreadsheet. You have some underlying functionality, a generic functionality, and how I would format a spreadsheet might be differently than how another business would do it, but fundamentally it's a financial package that provides an array of modules to support the various business processes around financials.
Okay. And so the upgrade in the AS400 server to the ICE server is a requirement of the upgrade to AFAMOUS, or AFAMOUS, the software upgrade is a result of the hardware upgrade?
Mr. Chair, the AFAMOUS upgrade, the software upgrade requires it as well. The system, the present AS400 is about 10 years old. It's a system that's no longer produced and shortly no longer supported. Quite frankly, we're running out of processor room on it as well. As we keep growing the Department of Corrections, the load keeps going up, and the average load is getting up well into the 80%, and it's 100% often enough that it's problematic for us. In fact, in the last couple of weeks, we've had situations where we've had to shut down processes initiated in research in order to free up the processor space to support the online transaction processing in the rest of the department.
So what's the total cost of the AS400?
Mr. Chair, the upgrade from the 530 to the 830 is $924,000.
So is there any value in selling off the AS400 that you have?
Mr. Chair, unfortunately, the value of used computer equipment is practically nothing. We will be able to reutilize some of the disk arrays that we have purchased over the last year, 18 months or so. It's a disk array that the technology for which works in the new AS400, and I can certainly find out how much of that.
So you bought disk in the last triennium, current triennium?
We are buying disks on a fairly regular basis to support growth.
So how much have you spent supporting the existing system?
Mr. Chair, if I can have a moment. Mr. Chair, about $30,000, I'm informed. The second column on the project breakdown are server replacements. These are NT servers that, are 5 years or older, and unfortunately in that environment, under the technology that was available at the time, 5 years is pretty old for a device that's been running 24 hours a day, 7 days a week.
How many servers are you replacing?
Mr. Chair, 10. There are 10 now. we're still doing the research to determine where the economies of scale are in terms of NT has changed over the last 5 years, the ability to put in multiprocessor units and larger, more robust units that will last us a longer period.
So are you replacing, 10 single processor boxes?
Mr. Chair, I don't know for certain that they're all single processor units, but I can't imagine that any of them are more than two processor units.
What are the applications running on?
Mr. Chair, we're running domain controllers, we're running email servers, a large number of email servers, print servers, so on, file servers. The final column is the Coffee Creek startup dollars, and that's a rough breakout by category. I did bring, just by way of illustration, our plan for Coffee Creek. This has all the detail in it, all of the budgets as they have evolved. We recently went through a cost control exercise and were able to reduce the cost approximately 15% from the previous estimate. This will all happen very soon, immediately after July 1st. Essentially, we have about 3 months to ramp up and prepare the IS functionality at Coffee Creek to get the doors open.
What are you spending $252,000 on network configuration at Coffee Creek?
Mr. Chair, Mr. Chair, so the router, servers, Ethernet switches, all of the black boxes, if you will, attached to the network piece inside the institution and to connect the institution to the computer center in Salem.
So how many devices do you have out of Coffee Creek?
Well, I would have to dig in and find out, but it's here. I can,
okay.
Do you want to wait, or do you want to either dig that out?
I got it and you can get to it. I'm just curious in terms of, that just seems like an awful lot of black boxes to...
Mr. Chair, we're taking advantage of technology in that we're upgrading it to a gigabit network. We're trying to keep current as we build these institutions with the what is moving in and dominating the marketplace.
What application are you going to be running that you need a gigabit network?
Mr. Chair, when we, as is in our long-term thinking, get to voice, video, and data under the State of Oregon Enterprise Network, I believe we'll find that the bandwidth will be very useful in that environment. And we're expecting that project to move forward. And
how many nodes are at Coffee Creek?
Mr. Chair, they're expecting approximately 400 PCs.
So we're going to have 400 employees sitting out there, or just include the other?
Mr. Chair, I'm not sure what the number of employees at Coffee Creek will be offhand.
Why would we have 400 PCs sitting at Coffee Creek if we don't have 400 employees sitting in front of them?
Mr. Chair, I'm hearing it's approximately 600 employees at Coffee Creek.
Okay, doing well.
Mr. Chair, corrections officers, education folks, training, health services, administrative folks in the superintendent's office, and so on. There'll be an assessment center, which assesses each inmate at intake for health, alcohol and drug, mental health assessments, educational assessments, and so on.
Okay. So, what happens to the equipment that's sitting at the older facility?
Mr. Chair, under a prior agreement, the equipment sitting at the intake center in Oregon City reverts to the intake center primarily. There may be a few pieces that we're carrying off with us, but the agreement, in, as I recall, is to leave the equipment in place.
Who paid for the equipment?
Mr. Chair, the state of Oregon paid for the equipment.
So who made that agreement?
Mr. Chair, I have no idea. It happened before I ever came to the Department of Corrections, but I'll certainly be happy to find out.
Mr. Chair, we in Clackamas County are very appreciative of that particular arrangement.
Yes, we are. Also, I do think that that intake center is going to be used also for, is it juvenile, Vern?
I'm not sure.
What are they going to do with it? It's going to remain in place.
Remain.
And serve as a satellite intake center. I believe that's the plan.
Clackamas County is really, it's been kind of a burden to Clackamas County, and so I think that's part of the whole agreement. Because they're running short now of space, so they'll take over that space. I don't remember all the details, so you have three of them.
Look, nothing comes free to Clackamas County. Come on, quit picking up. But I do think that it's going to remain in operation as another intake center, Mr. Chairman, is what I've been told. Satellite.
What happens to the equipment sitting at the present women's prison? I mean, how many positions are moving up here versus how many will be new?
Yeah, Mr. Chair,
600 people sitting at Coffee Creek.
Essentially, all of the positions, in a sense, are new, whether they're filled through transfer or through new recruitment. It's a new institution and creates a requirement for staff.
We're going to close down the women's prison here.
Mr. Chair, yes, we are. It's.
So we're going to fire all those people? Or?
They would transfer, by and large, have the option to either transfer to Coffee Creek or to other positions in the Department of Corrections.
And sitting in front, I'm just curious, how many net new positions are required because of the opening of Coffee Creek? There's where we're at, and what happens to the equipment, which is sitting in front of those same bodies today?
Mr. Chair, any equipment that's serviceable at the Oregon Women's Correctional Center will certainly go to Coffee Creek or to some other purpose. We wouldn't throw away serviceable equipment, but quite frankly, the size and change in the character of the institution is quite considerable. When Coffee Creek is fully populated, it will be an institution of approximately 1,300 beds, is my recollection. The present women's is very small compared to that, although I don't recall the number offhand. I'm not an expert on the population.
It's less than 200, I believe.
I'm just trying to understand in terms of, so is all the equipment not usable? I mean, I'm just curious in terms of, is there going to be 2,000? There's going to be a line here someplace for PCs, I'm sure.
Mr. Chair, yes, they're personal computers being purchased as part of the Coffee Creek startup. Certainly chairs, desks, and you name it, all the office equipment.
I'm just curious in terms of what happens to this stuff. A person is going to be moving, doing the same job function, and they had a computer sitting in front of them at the present women's prison, and they're moving to Coffee Creek. Are they going to move their system today? We're going to leave that behind, and then we're going to redistribute it out.
Mr. Chair, I don't know the details of that offhand. I'll dig into the plan and dig it out and let you know.
Okay. Why wasn't the $924,000 budgeted for the ASP?
Mr. Chair, originally there were, as I recall, two policy option packages. One for the AFAMUS piece, which included, we were operating on the same model that we were working on today, in that we costed out an option package with a small 400 dedicated to AFAMUS. We also costed out an option package for an upgrade to the 400 for just to support the CIS system. We were asked in that process if it was possible to resize the device to support both functions. We brought forth a costing for that, which is the figure that you see in here now. Somewhere in the process, $724,000 fell off the table. We got it back, and this isn't the appropriate costing for that server. And the governor's adjusted. That's been reconciled.
Okay. What are the contract services?
Mr. Chair?
Contract services, line items?
For this biennium?
On page 15, you've got $330,000, $114,000 for contract services.
Mr. Chair, those are the project management, quality assurance, the installation, configuration, and customization of the screens to the department's needs, and the user training pieces that are listed there. I could break that out and provide you with greater detail if that's useful.
So you're going to outsource the screen updates and basically the configuration of the software?
Mr. Chair, yes. We have presently one part-time staff assigned in the budget and finance unit. Well, it's not part-time. They do that work part-time, and the rest of the time do other work associated with maintaining the system. This is a completely new software base, and we're bringing in the training, and there is a position associated with it. So over the long term, as we get folks trained up, we'll have someone who essentially is full-time will be able to support that function.
So which group is that person
with? They would be with the Budget and Finance Division.
Budget and Finance Division. So in terms of, so they're not in the FTE that we talked about earlier?
Mr. Chair, no.
How many other FTE are associated with supporting applications that aren't in your FTE but are in somebody else's division?
Mr. Chair, that's a little bit difficult question to answer. These folks are not development folks in the sense that they're not writing code. They would be formatting screens and so on using the little, again, if I could use the analogy, the closest thing I can think of, because I've seen the product, it's a little bit like formatting an Excel spreadsheet. There's a fair amount of knowledge required, but you don't have to know how to program a computer to do it. And this software falls in that category. We have folks who manage the institutional staff deployment system, who manage rosters and design schedules and so on. And in that sense, they manage that software and utilize it, but they don't modify the software. They don't cut code and so on.
So what does your development group do? I mean, I would think in every other division we've had in front of us, or department, that's what the development unit does. So I'm trying to...
Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, quite frankly, I don't see that it makes sense for our development folks to be writing financial packages. That's not an area in which we have expertise, nor time, quite frankly, to do it. Our development folks primarily support enhancements, or really it's mostly maintenance to the corrections information system. At any given time, we have approximately 100 service requests for changes to screens, additional functions. We've added a number of functions in this biennium. If we backed up a bit in the document, there are a list of some major modules that were written this biennium on page number 8. If we get down, starting with the third item and below, those were all modules that were developed by the IS development staff. inmate misconduct and disciplinary hearing system, tracking, automating that function, which was a manual function. Volunteer tracking that allows the institutions to share information on folks who would volunteer come in and do work inside the institutions, help the institutions know who's authorized to do that, who's not, who's been cleared, and so on.
So on page 7, when you describe the development team staff functions as software development or maintenance of all these developed software, support facility managed software like famous, then that isn't a correct description of what the development team does.
Our development support for AFAMUS is minuscule. It's more in the nature of maintaining the interface to the SFMS system than anything else.
Okay.
Chair, responding to the additional questions in terms of project plans, we included what is essentially the very highest level schematic of our project plans on pages 18 and 19. I have additional detail, particularly I brought in the sort of the full binder for the Coffee Creek piece, if you care to take a look at that. As we move through,
how much do you have a figure of how much you spent in the current biennium on hardware and software?
Mr. Chair, I believe we should be able to, pretty good idea on page 16, 17. Unfortunately, no, I don't have that detail broken out here. I would have to dig that one up and bring it back.
During the current biennium, did you use any FTE dollars for anything other than personnel?
Mr. Chair, not to my ready knowledge. As far as I can tell, all the personal services money was expended on personal services.
Okay, and you'll go and double check that.
Absolutely.
Thank you.
Chair, item 6 is essentially a restatement of previous discussion on policy package 164. Item 7 lists all of the interfaces we have with Department of Administrative Services, the various committees, technical committees, advisory committees, and so on that either myself or my staff attend and coordinate. We're involved in the messaging project, the State of Oregon Enterprise Network, and we're very active in Project Management Advisory Board. We were early adopters of the Project Management Certification Program. The question was asked regarding CGIS. We attend all of the CGIS meetings at both the advisory level and the technical levels. I attend the Governor IP Roundtable on a regular basis. We meet periodically with our DAS analysts and quality assurance folks and so on. Item 8, system life cycles, is a little table at the bottom of page 21 that indicates approximately where we are with our life cycles.
What caused the cost overrun of over $1 million from the last biennium for voice and data transmission services?
Mr. Chair, I have with us today Mr. Nathan Allen, the budget manager for the Department of Corrections, who I believe can respond to that question for you.
Thank you. Please don't ask me any technical stuff, but I'm a budget manager for the Department of Corrections. My name is Nathan Allen. Mr. Chairman, just a little history. The Department of Corrections has had in its base budget for the last 3 to 4 biennia a budget of just barely over $400,000 for what we label telecommunications. That includes all of the data, voice, phone charges, line charges, that kind of thing. We have to rebalance our budget. Our spending levels for the last 3 biennia have been in excess of $1 million. So our spending levels for those charges have not been disproportionate. The cycle of the budget, though, in conjunction with the prison population forecast, which the department uses as its basis for developing its budget, is produced in October and April. We provide a rebalance plan generally every June of even-numbered years to the emergency board to deal with issues, including the population management changes. Unfortunately, that timing occurs after the cutoff for inclusion of emergency board actions in the base budget for budget development. So we chronically are having to catch up every biennium with a rebalance plan that addresses our underfunding in that line item.
So this is a problem that occurred 3 biennia ago, and you've never changed the budget?
Well, I've only been with the department 5 years, so unfortunately I don't have all the history. But just based on the scope of that disparity, my guess is that we have historically not been able to address on a permanent basis the underfunding in that line item. We don't, as some agencies do, develop a budget for those based on specific numbers of sets or lines or the infrastructure quantities.
How do you come up with the numbers?
We have historically built that budget based on the standard inflation applied to the base budget. So, for example, for 9901, we would have developed a budget of 2.5% for inflation on a budget in the base of $459,000.
So, you know, this is just me being crazier than, you know, what line item in the budget can we rely on as a correct number if, you know, we never go and adjust it if we've known for the last umpteen bienniums of this number is too low. You know, where does the other $600,000 come from to balance out? I mean, what programs or line item in the corrections budget are we moving to pay for telecommunications?
It really varies. There is an extensive review internally of all of the possible sources of funding for a number of rebalance concerns.
What was the last one?
I don't recall. I can find that for you, though. Get back to you.
I mean, $600,000 is a significant figure. I'm just thinking, did we take FTE positions? Did we not buy $600,000 of something? Or, I mean, I'm just curious in terms of, you know, either we just overbudget some other line item so we can move the money back over to pay the bills, because, you know, it just doesn't make any sense to me.
It is a complex issue and process, but there is a thorough discussion within the department from all managers who identify potential areas where funds can be saved through either the vacancy savings. Sometimes the forecast itself results in abilities to delay occupancy of beds of new institutions. It's a variety of things.
That's just insane. That doesn't make any sense. In terms of, you've known historically over the past 3 biennia that the number is underfunded. Has anybody ever bothered to mention it in front of a committee and said, oh, by the way, you know, next June, when we rebalance, we're going to have to find $600,000 here because we've historically, you know, overspent this category? So you might as well correct it now so that we know where the dollars are going to come from. I'm just curious.
It is a complex thing again. We have a number of accounts that are similar in nature. Overtime, for example, differentials that continue to grow based on growth in the number of institutions we have that are not fully funded. We have traditionally raised those issues with the Department of Administrative Services as current service level budget exception requests, and those have not been favorably reacted to based on funding concerns.
So you don't stop calling or stop using telecommunication services.
And then the other line items, do you stop doing those line items?
And the rebalance plans are approved, Mr. Chairman. We do go back into those budgets, and the budget line items are adjusted. So those other activities must adjust accordingly.
But, I mean, but that's after the fact. Nobody bothers to stop. But I'm just trying to figure out in terms of, could you give me a list of which line items in the budget are not correct, which you know will not be correct, and which you know in June you'll have to come back and go do a rebalance on? That doesn't make any sense.
We can identify those that we traditionally know will have that happen to them, yes.
Thank you.
I would confirm for the committee that the rebalance plan is typically done mid-biennium. It is after the April cutoff, so that any of the changes that are done at the E-Board do revert back at the end of the biennium in terms of the budget development. I can also confirm that the department has repeatedly asked for current service level exceptions in various areas based on expenditure patterns, and we're almost without exception, most of those have been disapproved. The department has, over the last several biennia that I've been responsible for the legislative oversight, been able to rebalance within existing resources due to a variety of circumstances. Either delayed beds, as Nathan has indicated, or debt service savings primarily, or management plans that they've adopted to freeze capital outlay, hold vacancies to allow them to do that. So it is common practice, and this is a line item that has chronically been underfunded. To the department's credit, they have rebalanced them within existing resources, but the line item does reflect a lower expenditure pattern than what they actually are experiencing.
Mr. Chairman, I need to make this comment on the record. It isn't in the nature of the note that I passed you, but I took a tour of the women's correction facility this session, at the start of this session, and I have toured the women's station before. I learned that some of the internal budgetary adjustments have been necessary in order to maintain our prisons. And that one of them is that the women are fed 3 meals a day for a total cost to the taxpayers of $1.98 per prisoner. And the cook or the head dietitian is very proud of the fact that he's able to do this and provide balanced meals for these people. But I am concerned that we are so drastically faced interrupting the quality of life for these folks. They're incarcerated. They're incarcerated for a reason, but there certainly are standards below which a humane society cannot go. And I would urge you to bring your budget up to date, and so that the state can look it in the face and fund them properly.
Mr. Chair.
Senator Yee.
Representative Lowe, you're saying $1.98 per person per day or per meal?
Per person per day.
Per day? For 3 meals a day?
Yes,
so
ma'am.
60 cents.
And some of them, when they have overcrowding, they sleep on a floor, pallets on the floor, Senator Yee.
We also have gigabit networks in the facility.
Well, I certainly hope they don't balance the budget at the expense of women inmates' meals. I hope you don't.
I think that we have not been giving them a very big stick to do a huge job with. I'm concerned.
Why is the voice service in finance and budget instead of info systems?
The telecommunications budget, Mr. Chairman, for the dome building and for the central administration of the systems is in the administration decision unit in the budget. There are institution budgets, program budgets for their discrete telecommunications expenditures.
You do not centrally manage this?
No, we do not. Mr. Chairman, those managers, for example, a superintendent would have discretion over the number of new sets or the number of sets, the addition of new lines at his discretion or her discretion.
Mr. Chair, I might add that there have been discussions between myself and the Administrator of Budget and Finance Division, as well as at the exec management team as recently as the last couple of weeks, that necessary to put together a group of people to review this and determine what the optimum management structure is for this, because it is an ongoing concern for the department. And the current way of doing it is certainly up to current industry standards, I might say.
What, if any, reports are generated to provide cost management for voice services?
Mr. Chair, each month the well, actually I have a little description here that goes into the describing how the reports are reviewed jointly between the budget and finance folks and the people in the individual units making requests, reviewing the unit line charges and so on to make sure that there are no deadlines out there ringing into empty space, that kind of thing. And of course my folks, in terms of the telecommunications piece, watch that very, very carefully, and we have no redundancy of lines, no wasted lines, that kind of thing.
How do you know that if you don't get the bills?
Since I have a person managing the network, they know where every one of those lines are. They do periodically review the charges with the folks in budget and finance to make sure something is not happening that we're not aware of. Most new lines associated with things like construction of an institution, major renovations, and so on, they consult with my staff. We have a low voltage expert on staff who's quite knowledgeable about voice lines as well as data lines, who works with the other business units to do some analysis and works with DAS to determine what the appropriate solutions are that meet the state of Oregon standards.
So who has the responsibility for oversight and direction?
Mr. Chairman, Nathan Allen again. Each of the bills is assigned to a particular cost center based on the, there is a table maintained by our accounts payable staff in the fiscal services section. They know for each of the phone numbers who the responsible manager is and the a famous cost center that should be charged to. Every month when those are received, they are distributed to those managers, and bills are not paid until those are returned, signed by a designated approved signatory.
So whoever's signing is, you're saying is responsible?
Yes. The executive staff have designated who has approval authority over each of their cost centers. Managers are assigned specific cost centers, and those invoices are distributed for approval every month prior to payment.
I understand that desktop systems purchases do not belong to Info Systems.
Mr. Chair, the Information Systems unit meets regularly with the business units of the Department of Corrections to reassess desktop standards. All purchases made in the Department of Corrections meet those standards. They're provided to the purchasing folks, and all purchases in that area have to meet the standards that are set by that that work group.
How much are you going to be spending the next biennium on desktop?
Mr. Chair, the only place where I can speak to that definitively would be at Coffee Creek, and I'd have to dig down in here and determine what the budget is for those specific systems. The individual business units historically, unfortunately, are in the position of having to deal with upgrades and replacement cycles to their system. It's not budgeted.
I beg your pardon? Replacing this biennium?
In the entire department? Quite frankly, I couldn't answer that question off the top of my head. I would have to go do a little bit of research to find out.
So I guess you're going to go out and poll each of these business units to find out how many systems they're going to be purchasing?
Mr. Chair, that would be true. We do not have a comprehensive centralized asset management system. We did do an assessment during the Y2K process, of course, to check every desktop in the department, but that would be out of date at this point.
So, how much time do you need to go and tell us how many desktop systems are planning for?
Mr. Chair, it probably wouldn't take very long at this point because my expectation is there will be very few purchased between now and the end of the biennium. And
the next biennium,
I can dig through the project plan for Coffee Creek and get you those figures very quickly. In terms of other elements of the department, I would have to work with each of the business units, and I would imagine that would probably take a week, perhaps.
Okay. Please do that. And I suggest that they not be conservative on their numbers.
Mr. Chairman.
Senator Yee.
Mr. Riley, you said that you don't have a central asset management system, and why is it you don't?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, it's one of those things that we'd very much like to do, but quite frankly have not gotten around to yet. We are working with the DAS work group on developing the enterprise asset management system, and Mr. LaBelle, I'm sure, could speak more knowledgeably to that, but would participate in utilizing that system when it is developed. So in the short term, I'm not certain between now and the time that system is developed that it would necessarily make much sense for us to invest heavily in something that would have a very brief lifetime.
Well, let me follow up. So without a central asset management system, how do you keep track of all the computers you have, the replacement, the new purchases? How do you keep track of it?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, I don't, and my business unit does not.
Do you plan to have a system set up?
Mr. Chair, Senator Yee, as I mentioned, we are working actively with the Department of Administrative Services on the work group that they have reviewing asset management systems, and we would expect to participate when the recommendations and selections of that group are made.
Mm-hmm. Mr. Chairman, Senator Yee, if I could, just with regard to that question, the department does maintain property and inventory control records on equipment and assets. Unfortunately, with the definition in the accounting system now of assets being 5,000 or greater for capital outlay, some of these units obviously don't cost that much. And so I believe we are correct.
Don't cost that much.
Yes. And so as a result, I believe, though, because of the sensitive nature of that particular kind of asset, we are including that on our inventory property records.
Mm-hmm. Well, I just want to know, do you plan to give us a asset management system before budget is formulated? Because I guess a lot of them are pretty expensive system.
Representative Patridge, do you want to jump in here?
I'm just wondering what kind of asset management system you have. I mean, you can buy off-the-shelf just for PCs like Trackit or anything else. I mean, you're tracking the number of order tickets that are available out there. You know, typically companies always track. They track so they know what their problem machines are, just for efficiencies in dealing with things, you know, from your help desk. How are you – what's your plan, or do you have
– Mr. Chair, Representative Patridge, we implemented a help desk software approximately 2 years ago now, and we do track, of course, problem associated history, build a knowledge base, and so on. So to the extent that we had responded to a number of PCs, we would have a history there, but have we extended that to all of those assets? No, we haven't. And it's clearly a problematic. It's something that needs to be addressed.
Okay. Any further questions you'd like to come back with? Okay. With that, without any further business for the committee, we will stand adjourned.